Revelation 13 reads, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns. And upon his horns, ten crowns. And upon his heads, the name or names of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, a reconstitution of the leopard kingdom of Alexander the Great, specifically identified in Isaiah and Micah and Daniel as the old Assyrian area of that kingdom. Alexander's kingdom, as we have pointed out many times in this series, broke into four parts. Two of those parts, the northern kingdom, the area of north and western Iraq, southern Turkey, Syria, being the northern kingdom, particularly of Daniel 11, and Egypt being the southern kingdom. The Seleucid portion being the northern kingdom, the Ptolemies of Egypt being the southern kingdom, using the names of the generals of the four that ruled over those areas following Alexander the Great. In the images of Daniel, from the lion of Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom to the bear of the Medo-Persian, to the leopard of the Grecian kingdom. This beast, the kingdom of Antichrist, was like unto a leopard. His feet were as the feet of a bear, standing in the area occupied by the old Medo-Persian empire. His mouth as the mouth of a lion, the dragon, Satan, and his counterfeit religion based in ancient Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, the lion kingdom, with a false prophet speaking for him in a humanized religion, wearing or looking in imagery with the horns of a lamb like Christ, but speaking with the voice of Satan. The mouth of a lion, speaking in the old Nebuchadnezzar, Babylonian, Nimrod, Semiramis, counterfeit religion frame. And the dragon, that is Satan, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death. When the angel that came to answer Daniel's prayers, as you who have been listening will remember when we preached on that chapter, referred to the prince of Persia, and he did not mean the earthly ruler, but the demon of Satan's kingdom that empowered the earthly ruler of Persia. And that prince had resisted the angel who came to answer Daniel's prayer, and it took him 3 weeks to fight through the territory. Michael, the prince, God's angel, the prince who watched over Judah or the Jews, Jerusalem, Daniel's city, then Daniel came to help that angel and maintained a holding action as the angel came to answer Daniel's prayer. And that angel said that it was but a reciprocal relationship, for he had once helped Michael. And now that angel said he would return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when he left, turn me down a hair, and when that mic's bouncing back at me. And when he left that battle, he said, "Lo, the prince of Grecia will come, That's why when he saw in imagery the kingdom of Alexander the Great moving into the vacuum of power in the sense of principalities and powers under the prince of the power of the air, which is Satan, he could see Alexander's kingdom in imagery moving as though it didn't touch the ground with such speed. That prince of evil, the demon, called the Prince of Grecia, empowered Alexander the Great to win his great victories. And yet the same prophet Daniel said, when he's cut off and his kingdom is divided into four parts, it'll not be his posterity, it will not be his sons that will reign. And those that receive his kingdom will not reign in his power, because that prince of Grecia is cut off and banished to the abyss or the bottomless pit. That is the head that is wounded to death, and the literal is struck to death. Not just wounded, but slain to death. But amazing, this chapter 13 of Revelation says, his deadly wound was healed. That kingdom of that Seleucid portion of Alexander's leopard kingdom, wounded to death, and in history, having no power that stands out, suddenly, that killed kingdom is now becoming more visible. But I'm not so old, I can't remember when nobody studying world balance of power and geopolitics would think that the area of northwestern Iraq, southern Turkey, and piddling little Syria would ever play a part in world balance of power. I preach to a congregation of people that don't have to think for 30 seconds to know that 20 years ago, no one would ever have conceived that a little two-bit country like Iran could hold the United States at bay. That quickly, events have been rearranged in world balance of power. And that's why all the world will wonder after this kingdom. And in that area of political instability and unrest, there will gel a kingdom that the world will wonder at, because it is the restoration of a kingdom that was slain. That's the beast head that is wounded. All the world wonder after that beast, and they worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast. How could anybody worship the devil? They do it all the time without knowing it. That's what I've been talking about all week to you that watch the festival live here on the network. The ingraftation of literally Satan worship, because it's his counterfeit, and the worship of Satan's throne rather than God's throne. I know there's a Satan church up in San Francisco, but don't expect it to become the religion of Syria. And don't expect that open Satan worship to become the worship of the world. He will be worshipped under the guise of his representative, clouded over by a false prophet, but that's further in the chapter. They worship the dragon which gave power unto the beast, and they worship the beast. Say, friend, how many of you have listened to me long enough to know what the word worship means? It doesn't necessarily mean falling on your face and going through gyrations that we relate only to religious liturgical acts. Worship's a simple word. It means worth-ship. It is a value orientation, an awareness of wonder, an expression of worth to a nation reconstituted, amazingly, that holds the key to peace in the Middle East. Egypt had to be reconstituted because it's, look at this, my lambs. Somebody decided my nose needs sheets, not handkerchiefs. Great day in the morning. You want a handkerchief, Dad? I can give them back now. Well, isn't that nice? Troubled Middle East, the focus of everybody's attention now. Sadat was the hope. That's why the upheaval through assassination had to occur. The whole world was looking at Sadat as the answer to peace in the Middle East. The Bible says Egypt in the last days will become the catalyst for unrest, not rest. Egypt will make a final move that arouses the Antichrist kingdom reconstituted in the area of Syria and northwestern Iraq and southern Turkey. Let me just call it for convenience today, the Assyrian kingdom reconstituted, the Seleucid portion of Alexander's empire. That has to be the peacemaker. That area has to surprise the world. Syria has been the belligerent one. Egypt was the peacemaker. That has to reverse. And a world in amazement will see a reconstituted area come up out of obscurity, a ruler in that area that has the answer for peace. And Egypt will be the troublemaker. We've just seen that reshaping of history. They see the word of the dragon and the beast saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. He doesn't come in with a horn and a pitchfork. He comes saying the right thing that the world wants to hear. And powers great enough to stomp him into non-existence will give to him their power because he has the answer for peace that threatens the world in that Middle East area. It was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him. Who gives it? God. But the way God gives it, he will move upon the kings that comprise a reconstituted Roman Empire, the 10 toes on the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And I can talk with short-circuited phrases today because I assume the majority of those who listen have listened through the weeks as we've laid these foundations in Daniel. If you haven't, get the tapes and listen to them. This 10-toed imagery in Nebuchadnezzar's image was but the reconstitution of the Roman Empire into 10 kingdoms out of the geographic area once ruled by Rome. These 10 kings will have it put in their heart, as literally as God put it into the heart of Pharaoh to do what he did, to give to this Antichrist ruler in this Middle Eastern Assyrian area the reconstituted Seleucid portion of the Grecian Empire, they'll give him their power for a season. And that gift of power given to him, he won't conquer them. He'll uproot three of the horns. The balance will be given to him. And there will also be given to him the power of Satan as that prince of Grecia, the demon power that empowered Alexander, that was banished to the bottomless pit, is released and enters into Antichrist, giving him the powers from demon possession of that prince of evil that empowered Alexander the Great. And that power will be given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. I have one purpose in preaching. It's the only purpose I ever preach. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And God's not a man to lie, nor the son of man to repent. What he says he'll do, what he speaks he'll make good. Here's God in control of history, 1900 years ago, penning these phrases, which but add detail to what he had centuries earlier spoken to Daniel, who had simply asked that God would honor the promise to keep him in bondage for 70 years. And God then told him what he would do with his people, Daniel's people, his city, Jerusalem, for 70 weeks of years. Now, John is telling what happens in that 70th week. This Antichrist will come to power. And he'll open his mouth and blaspheme against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Aphrodite had saints. The word saint simply means to give oneself over to God. There are saints other than the church, and this is not the church. It's the saints comprising God's promised people, finally finding the true nature of the false Messiah that they entered into a covenant with, that Daniel described, and his true nature comes out. And in the middle of that 70th week, he begins to make war on them and to overcome them. Power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. That follows the power that was given to him by the 10 kingdoms and by the treaty that he makes with Israel. By the way, how many of you know that when the vote was cast for the name of Israel versus Zion, one vote decided it? Just one vote. As God works his will and reconstituted the nation Israel. That dumb nation will make a treaty with Antichrist. And I repeat, Sadat had to be replaced by an army man, a belligerent. Syria's belligerency will be replaced by a peacemaker. Remember, you heard it December 1981, not because I'm smart, but because the Bible says it. Begin. And I repeat, like him or don't like him, that's not the point. Begin, the hardliner, must be replaced in Israel by a peace-seeking compromiser. That's the necessary condition for the events of the end to begin happening. And a treaty will be made with this Antichrist, and in the middle of the week, he'll break it. Having gotten power with flattering words, the imagery of Revelation 6, where he rides in on a white horse with a bow and no arrow in it, his real nature comes out. He makes war with the saints to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now if any man have an ear, let him hear. And I beheld another beast. Here's the false prophet. Coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. He looks just like a Christ representative. And he spake as a dragon. He gets his message from Satan. He exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. He had power to give life or breath unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all. Who? This false prophet. I'm heading to the point of this message today. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark. Now, John knows the difference between a number and a mark. How many know that? A mark. And how many know that computers now speed things up by simply catching little lines, the length of which can be translated into words or numbers? A simple little mark, translatable into a digit, already at work in areas of this land. A mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600. The letter in the Greek that translates into the number, because they used letters for numbers. Number one was Alpha. Number two was Beta. Number 60 was Chi, which is the, as I showed you last Sunday, the letter for the first word in the Greek for Christ, the letter Chi. The number Xi, 6, that unique form of their little letter S, which is not sigma but stigma, which falls between the, doesn't fall in their alphabet between the fifth and the sixth letter. It's just positioned there, making the sixth letter become, in the normal alphabet, the seventh when they count. And as I put it on the board last Sunday, it's the symbol of the serpent that ends it. Six. Stigma. This number, 606. Now, and you'd think that people were smart enough when God's Word clearly says it, to avoid the number 666 like a plague. I've been doing a lot of reading to you this week. Let me give you a few. You may want to write them in the margin of your Bible. The World Bank Code today, because, and you'd think it's an accident, the only letter that's easy to simply invert, which is useful in computerized numbers, is the 6. Invert it and it becomes the 9. Now that becomes the scientific explanation for the use of the number 6, because it's the invertible number. An 8, possibly, but not quite as good as the 6, because the 8 shaped a bit differently. That's the scientific. The number conveniently works the way they want to work it. How did Daniel and John know that centuries ago before the computers were invented? God did. And the World Bank Code number today, as the prefix intended in a master plan worked out, I believe, beginning in 82 through 84, is 666. So the first number in a national numbering system, an international numbering system, is going to be 666. Australia's national bank cards have on them 666. New credit cards in the United States are now being assigned the prefix. Some of you already have seen it. 666. Chase Manhattan Bank is working out computerized plans that will enable the debits and credits instantly to be done with 13 major commercial stores and mercantile centers and central computers for some of these, specifically for Sears, Belk's, Penney's, and Montgomery Ward's. Around the world have all their transactions prefixed with 666. Shoes made in European common market countries have stamped on the inside label 666. Some of them, by the way, have a little circle emblem with a line cutting the circle in half, 666 in the bottom half, and an animal with the horns attached, which is straight out of Babylonian imagery of Nimrod, is on the top half. Computers made by Lear Siegler have a seal on the side in which is stamped the number 666. Some of this is going to be to the point of ludicrous, but just to show nobody's afraid of it. Federal Government Medicaid Service Employees Division numbers 666. IRS Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms Division has on their employee badges the number 666. IRS instructions, listen to this, for non-profit corporation employee, 1979 W-2 forms, beginning then, require the prefix 666. Those that are incorporated as churches, spotlighted first. I've read you this on festivals, some of you. President Carter's new Secret Security Force patches have on them 666. He's gone. He, by the way, signed 2 treaties, haven't yet gone through Congress, that if honored as treaties, would put the power, should it be enforced, in the hand of the United Nations, do away with ownership of private party or private property. Some of you know. By the way, I'll skip down. Arab-owned vehicles in Jerusalem have license plates prefixed 666. MasterCard began using in August 1980, statements 6-6. Now, the plan is short and simple, to assign national codes to follow the international code. 110 is the United States code for its central computer. Follow that with your area code. Anybody got a Social Security card on them? Somebody move real fast and count the numbers on your Social Security card quickly. Somebody move fast. Who's got one? Hold your hand up. Who's got one with a loud voice? All right, Wes, count the numbers. Well, you don't have it out yet. Somebody that's got one out, hold your hand up. Right here. Loud, right here. No, just count the numbers. Yeah, just 9, right? I'm just going to use 3. Doesn't matter. Well, 6s would be better. But it won't be a 6, I can tell you that. It won't be 3 6s. So we'll just do it that way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Let me do it over here. And these will be your Social Security numbers. Whatever I pick doesn't matter. You want to count them up? Three times 6, 18. And that'll be the 18-digit international numbering device, and I don't gamble, but I bet I'll make you a bet on it. And I'll stick my neck out and say, you watch Social Security numbers start being substituted and tied to area code numbers which locate your area and tied to the national number wherever the country may be, and tied to what is already in the World Bank computer, 666. And those people that used to be afraid of the Social Security number because they thought it was the mark of the beast were wrong. It wasn't the mark of the beast. But they were right. It was a precursor of the mark of the beast. Now, there are many signs of the time. We've all seen them. Come and go. I want to read, which I haven't done very many times when I preach. A Washington State University professor, R. Keith Farrell, invented a laser tattoo gun in 1974, with which he has laser numbered fish in 1/30 billionth of a second. When asked if this gun could be used to number every person in the world, Dr. Farrell replied it could indeed be used for such a purpose. More recent information has surfaced that the banking industry, in conjunction with the United States government, has completed testing of a soft, injectable plastic manufactured by a laboratory in Orlando, Florida. Upon a subcutaneous injection of the liquid substance, just inject just barely under the skin, the liquid substance, it smooths out under the skin, much like water does on a flat surface, becomes semi-hard, forming a permanent underskin shield on which the tattoo gun imprints the person's number or mark. Further information indicates that banks are now ready to begin imprinting these permanent numbers or marks in the right hand or in the forehead. Until, you know, modern scientific things came along, people used to preach on prophecy, and it sounded kind of ludicrous to think that people who might want beauty marks, but nobody wants 666 plus all the rest of the other numbers stamped across their forehead or even on their right hand. But John never said, he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand. And the Greek participles are very specific in the New Testament. He says, in the right hand, or in their foreheads. Brussels, Belgium, headquarters of the European economy, is the location of the main switching center in the international computer that will accommodate the transfer of electronic funds internationally. Now, there are some prophecy preachers that believe the beast is a computer. No, the computer is the tool of the beast. But their research is plenty important, because they've dug in and revealed some behind-the-scenes things going on festival. I have talked to you that watch as I read through Professor Carol Quigley's book. And I beg the indulgence today, because it's not often I leave simple scriptural quotations. But I do want to sweep this into our preaching on Revelation today, just to show when God says something, it's going to be done. I have one goal, I repeat, second time in this message, thousands of times since I've been here. We better understand, faith is the hanging of the body on God's word and His faithfulness to perform it. And faith can only come by hearing and seeing God's faithfulness to perform as He guides even the streams of history. The end couldn't come without these modern scientific accomplishments. And you heard me read from Professor Carol Quigley, from Rhodes of South Africa to the present, the behind-the-scenes manipulation of the world by the international banking community. Look to them and the international corporations as the means by which God will set the stage for Antichrist to seize the control he must have. And they can give it to him at the outset. Brussels, Belgium, headquarters of the European economy, is the location of the main switching center in the international computer hookup developed by Burroughs Corporation that will accommodate the transfer of electronic funds internationally. This control center occupies three floors of the headquarters 13-story building. It is here that Dr. Henrik Eldeman, chief computer analyst, is currently directing efforts to assign every person on earth an 18-digit number. That's the one. They're already... Why do you think Social Security is suddenly being moved to the center stage of history in the most powerful nation in this earth? As the elderly multiply through the scientific contributions to health that give longer life, we see Ronald Reagan struggling to say, I'm part of you. And the crises of management in Social Security creates the catalyst for reorganization, which will set the stage for international, already begun and already executed in some areas, treaties for international cooperation in Social Security. And you will see this number of your Social Security card move to prominence. And they're already working worldwide into this beast computer to assign every person. An article in San Jose Mercury talked about this, saying, quote, the beast is described as being a gigantic computer occupying three floors of the administration building of the Common Markets headquarters. It indicates that computer scientists are working on a master plan to assign numbers to each individual on Earth. And yet the whole world, like in the days of Noah, go on eating and drinking and marrying and buying and selling and watching TV, which they didn't have in Noah's day. The only change. While all this is happening, computer scientists there are working on a master plan to assign numbers to each individual on earth. You would think that Revelation 13 would scare them to death on that subject. This number could be used for trading purposes, buying and selling. May I read again? He causeth all. Friend, I want to tell you, there's enough in the Bible that government simply couldn't accomplish this. The church, when it sees it, is going to rise up, except the established voices in the church will sell it out, either through their own ignorance of the Bible because they've become social ringmasters instead of preachers and students of the Word. The established church, without a false prophet to say, oh, come on, don't worry about it, this isn't it. It couldn't happen. There are enough Bible-taught people in the world to react. Well, how many of them are sending back their J.C. Penney bill that has a 666 on it? How many of you listening to me have personally reacted when the number 666 slips through on your checks because it's not yet ready to be released in 1966? How many of you are going to argue when you can't bank without the 666 imprinted on your card because it has to be in the tooling up for the future already put on the checks in anticipation of utilization of the computer hookups in the International Monetary Exchange and funds? You're not going to do anything about it. None of you are going to stop dealing in cash and quit writing checks. There's IRS again on your case. It makes you look like a crook. Can't even take the cash of this church out of the bank and put it in cash without somebody saying, well, wait a minute. They must be doing something crooked because they put their money in the vault. And who leads the pack? Worldwide established church leaders who say we must live every day as though Sinclair Lewis is looking over our shoulder and must be honest before all men, and we must have accountants and accounting and bookwork that makes us above reproach in the world, so the price tag on that is 666 on every church check. And a few prophets like me that say that's the damnable beginnings are called crooks by our own brethren within the church because they must show off their accommodation. They look like Jesus and speak with the voice of the dragon. I even got people, not so many anymore, in my own church that can't understand what Zechariah and Haggai were trying to say to God's people in their day. Will you understand? You are enzymes, signposts, pointing to eternity. Act like it. Except a destiny. We're not of this world. This number could be used for trading purposes. Let me read it again. He, the false prophet, mind you, the established church. The reason I will not allow the false prophet to simply be identified with Rome. Friend, the ecumenical movement is a lot bigger than Rome. Much bigger than Rome. There's going to be a movement worldwide to try to blend together the religious communities. You'll see a return to the attempts to marry the Greek Orthodox and the Anglican Church, and the National Council of Churches, and the Jewish Leagues. They'll all begin to speak. And the predecessor, listen to me, the predecessor, any truth taken out of context and made the whole truth becomes the most vicious kind of error, beginning with the deification of love in the 70s. The beginning seed was planted for the kind of approved message that will blend all religions together in some ecumenical union, which is the voice that will be accepted. And you'll see the FCC try to shut up any individuality of voice. They want to homogenize religious expression. That's the false prophet's frame. And without an established church cutting across all lines, pushing with the horns of the Lamb, looking like Christ's representative, but speaking with the voice of the dragon, he will cause all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You sure you're ready? If you don't anticipate living the life of faith now, which will take you up when Jesus comes before this event, are you ready to watch your family starve? Put flesh and blood on this scene. All you got to do is just get a little mark. I mean, you've had the Social Security for years. Nothing wrong with the national number, 110. Nothing wrong with the telephone area code. There are people change in the Los Angeles area without blinking an eye now from 213 in some areas to whatever the new one is, 808 or something. What is it? 818. But they're already softening us up, folks. The 666 is not going to be added to the other 15. The 666 is sneaking in already. Until you get used to the 666. Doesn't do anything to you. Doesn't separate you from anybody else. Just for the bank's convenience, it's put on there. Why the bank's convenience? They know what they got to hook up to way down the line. Let me read it to you again. What this beastly computer has to say. This number could be used for trading purposes, buying and selling. The reporters suggested that a digital number could be laser tattooed on the forehead or the back of the hand. This international mark, they don't have to use a number, by the way, any more than they have to scan the little marks that seem meaningless except to the computers and the programmers, for prices in large grocery stores or department stores. The international mark could do away with all currency. No member could buy or sell without having an assignment of a digital mark. Now, Dr. Emil Gavrilov, in an interview, scientist and minister, and he was in an interview with Dr. Patrick Fisher, Canadian computer scientist. And here's the interview as it flows. Dr. Emil Gavrilov, can you tell us something about the big computer in Brussels which has been called the Beast? Dr. Patrick Fisher, it's been in existence for 4 years or so, the computer specialist from Canada. Through use of credit cards, it had been easy to put almost all the trading nations into the memory banks. You and I are tied into this computer by one or more keys that identify us. Our social, this is every one of you. Our social security number, our driver's license, our birth certificate, our passport number, and whatever credit cards we use. Every move you've made, you say, well, how'd my birth certificate get in when I spent so much time trying to find it when I got a passport? It went in when you got your passport. You don't have all this on everybody. As we move into the computer age, every time you fill something out, I don't just do what I do in front of the camera or as pastor of this church. One of the first educations anybody learns when they first get on my staff close to me, and I get amused at it, they just sort of come onto the arena of working with Scott
just doing what the world does. I mean, they got a billfold full of credit cards. How'd they get it? Well, they went to a department store that asked them everything from the fingernail polish they used to what color of the spit. Exaggeration a bit. And nobody, I have a fight everywhere I go in the business world because they can't understand somebody that says, none of your business. Take a credit card, put your telephone number on it. Into your ear with barbed wire. I already qualify for this card once. You got a button you can punch and a telephone you can call. Do it. Decide whether it's a good card or not, or I'm going out. You just impede the whole world if you don't play by the rules. Tell me this. Tell me that. Our church, Westcott Christian Center, has had six-figure lines of credit for more than 10 years at the Bank of America, and they've never ever seen an operating statement from the day we started. Because I found somebody in management and I asked them, do you want money or paper? Not everybody gets away with what I get away with, but I've been fighting this identification stuff. I got a file that long in the office called the Anti-Antichrist file. Stand up somewhere and quit disgorging your innards to everybody that smiles at you and nods. You and I are tied to this computer by one or more keys. Our social security number, our driver's license, our birth certificate. I go in a doctor's office. Who needs your help? Here's a little snot-nosed snip nurse that couldn't last 3 weeks in my class at college. I'd kick her rear end often enough she'd get her mind out of what it's in. She'd fill this out. My mother's dying. Fill this out. My dad was in the hospital. You remember down here at this Seventh-day Adventist menagerie. In comes a pimply-faced kid. What are you doing? I'm taking this patient. Where are you taking him? Well, I don't know. I said, get him out of here. Nobody moves my dad out of this room that doesn't know where he's going. Get him out of here. When I got done having a fit, right or wrong, dad was out of here. He didn't know where he's going. When I got done yelling, that poor pimply-faced kid was standing in the hall. I said, get me somebody with authority. You don't move my dad like a hunk of beef to cut on him without knowing where you're going. Feel this out. I haven't filled out a form in a doctor's office for years. I'd rather die than give them all that garbage. Oh boy, do they like to see the Medicaid people coming. They can fatten themselves on that. There are a few of character, about as few as there are preachers and lawyers with character. You ever looked at those forms? What in the world has my mother's maiden name to do with my wart being burned off my hand? You got the point? Yes, sir. Be a little bit mean. First thing I want to write down is I go to Scott's church and I hate the Antichrist. That's a while the word will get around. I'm so tired of nameless idiots saying, "What's your name? What's yours?"
Somebody calling you on the telephone. "What's your name?"
Idiot, you call me. If you don't know my name, what are you on the line for? Don't give out information so easily.
You and I are tied to this computer. I bet they got less on me than most people. About one or more keys. Our social security number. Our driver's license. Our birth certificate. Our passport number and whatever credit cards we use. Every move you have made. And every penny, this is the computer scientist from Canada talking. Every penny that you've paid to the Internal Revenue each year is all on record. The computer capacity was set for 2 billion people 4 years ago. Basically, these were from the industrial trading nations. Those people who are traveling, those people who are using credit cards. Boy, the television just keeps giving it to you. I travel a lot. Nobody in Paris knows that Gene Scott's that white-haired idiot, always bad-mouthing government on TV. So I need this American Express card. And out comes Gene Scott. And everybody honors Gene Scott on an American Express card. Hog washing. Platypus slobbers. Wherever you go, they're writing you down. Those people who are using international borders to come in and out of the country that they visit. Dr. Gaberluck, let me stress that again. Every individual who is a member of one of these industrial nations is already in that computer. Dr. Fisher, yes, he is. And every move he's made, any change of address, what jobs, what his earning capacity has been, what he's paid to the Internal Revenue at the end of each year. Dr. Gaberluck, I don't think most people realize that. No, they don't. Am I boring you? In the mid-1970s, Nancy French, writing in Computer World, states, I don't know how many messages I've preached on the book of Revelation. This is the first time I've kind of gone out of Scripture to show something. Swift Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Transactions. That's a nice, glamorous name, isn't it? Swift. Everybody wants to be Swift. Is establishing a worldwide communications network linking 240 members worldwide. This system is so designed that any type of computer system in the world can become a participant. Burroughs Corporation has been selected by SWIFT, Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunications, to supply data processing and data communications equipment which will be used in a new international telecommunications network. SWIFT, which is based in Brussels, and currently has a membership of 246 banks with a private communication system for the transmission of payments and other messages associated with international banking. Initially, the SWIFT network will be comprised of switching centers in Brussels and Amsterdam. Such centers will be linked to boroughs, data concentrators, initially in Amsterdam, Brussels, Copenhagen, Frankfurt, Helsinki, London, Milan, Montreal, New York, Oslo, Paris, Stockholm, Vienna, and Zurich. The data concentrators in each country will be connected to terminals in member banks in that country. Most messages transmitted on the SWIFT network will be delivered anywhere in the system within a minute of being entered. Now, that's a direct quote out of Burroughs Clearinghouse, their own magazine, January 1975. Quoting from the Capitol Voice, Washington, D.C., quote, "This Swift Bank is being built, not by accident, close by the Federal Reserve Field Office, a most strategic and most sensitive spot. Actually, it is to be the Washington, D.C. headquarters for international banking transactions, but controlled in Brussels. Surrounded by an aura of mystery and a topic of much discussion, this operation is known by the bankers associated with the European Common Market, some of whom are now moving into the area of this structure without fanfare. By the use of signs, symbols, numbers, and mystical figures processed through a sophisticated computer system supported by electronic devices that stagger the imagination, these top financiers," I'm still quoting from the Capital Voice, Washington, D.C., "these top financiers have acquired the technology along with the business acumen, which enables them to control the structure and the manipulation of the world's currency. It is called SWIFT. Its membership consists of hundreds of the most important banks in Western Europe, the United States, Canada, and Japan. Now, this fabulous telecommunication system is reaching right into Culpeper, the name of this place, only a stone's throw from the offices of the Capital Voice. But the building, under construction and ready for occupancy next year at the time this was written, is designed to resemble a warehouse rather than a business block. It is costing, along with this elaborate electronic equipment, some 15 million. Experts, mostly from Europe, are among the administrators of the Culpeper operation. It is doubtful if any of these men are aware that institution of the Swift Bank is in the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. These are men of integrity and high motivation, but this is the system that Antichrist will seize, or I would say will have given to him at the prophetic moment. It will control the common currency of the world now in formation. It is the system under which, according to Revelation 13, that, quote, no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So the international bankers have already prepared the way for the Antichrist. Now let's focus on how near to the electronic money system being locally functional in the United States, when we shall be able to use a single card in a real retail store and transact all our business, pay our utility bills, transfer funds. Systems already here. The equipment is in our larger department stores, even here in Montgomery, Alabama, the person writing this. Gapers, for example, is already equipped with the POS terminals, electronic cashless registers. Now let's, I'm still quoting, now focus on a big bank in the United States which is pioneering this system. Electronic money, Chase Manhattan Bank, an electronic money, EFT report. Quote, a sophisticated point-of-sale system is quietly operated by the Chase Manhattan Bank. In one of the banking industry's best-kept secrets, Chase now has interfaces to the computer systems of 13 different retailers. The bank thus is indirectly linked to hundreds of electronic cash registers or POS terminals in department and specialty stores. These stores are located from New England to the southeast, to the Midwest. Philip J. Reese, the vice president in charge of this program, says, quote, we see ourselves assisting merchants nationwide in performing non-cash transactions. By offering this system to merchants on a nationwide basis, a network will be created that will allow the Chase Manhattan Bank at a later time to have a national EFTS presence. It is highly possible that banking in the future, this vice president of Chase still speaking, that banking in the future will take place at the point of sale. It seems to us that Chase already is engaged in national EFT to a certain extent. Branch banking has become more and more expensive, observes Paul G. Tung, a senior VP, while electronic banking is becoming less and less expensive. Now the 666, and I'm about done, sneaked up on us. IBM has an extensive numerical coding system. All IBM products in the 60s were prefixed with the digit 2. In the 70s, IBM computer devices were assigned the prefix 3. Likewise, international credit cards, which were prefixed with 2 in the 60s, advanced to the prefixes of 3, 4, and 5 in the 70s. Presently, the computer systems have reached such a level of sophistication that another digit is required, one which can be programmed both in its normal position, here's the scientific explanation, and inverted. The perfect digit is 6. Inverted, it is still a usable number, 9. At this moment, the entire world is being linked up for the issuance of the new international card by which each individual's funds can be electronically transferred. This card is due to be issued during the year 1982. The initial digit on this card, which is now ready to be used, I'm quoting, I won't fix it that close in date. The initial digit on this card will be advanced to the digit 6. No other digit could have so conveniently accommodated this massive system. That's the scientific explanation. But John didn't know about that when he wrote. No other digit could have so conveniently accommodated this massive system. As early as 1978, this writer says, a friend of mine was assigned her own personal identification number, 6110. She didn't know that it was a preview at that time of the new international prefix 6 and the United States code 110. IBM and NCR are leaders in the manufacture of point-of-sale systems, which we still prefer to call cash registers. The National Cash Register Model 304, a popular supermarket system, now works on a series of 6 cores. John didn't know how to build them. He didn't know this. 6 cores. A core is a ferromagnetic loop with 2 states of polarization. If you remember that, you get an A. Allowing for changing directions of current to perform switching functions. I don't have to remember the detail or be a computer scientist to know. They've explained to me why 6 is scientifically convenient. And these machines have 6 cores. John sure didn't know as much as you know. The core works in conjunction with 60 displacements times 6. One character or one bit of information. The formula for this system is simply 666. In order to number an item or a person's card, the transaction must be prefixed. 600, 3 score, and 6. Now I can see preachers having computer specialists on their staff to explain why this doesn't mean a cotton-picking thing. The machines have 6 cores. And the number is the most ideal one to invert, and there's a perfectly logical expression, why, or explanation, not expression, why that the first number has to be 666. The moral of this is you put the cap on when you don't use it. Well, I got another one. The number is 666 has to be in front because only those numbers will work in the machines, have nothing to do with biblical prophecy. There's no Antichrist on the scene. Hogwash. It'll sound good. You will still be in a lot of trouble, friends. Now, as the card system is being narrowed down to one card and one number, we can expect a rapid phase out of old numbers. You watch for it, folks. Gas card numbers, passport numbers, birth certificate numbers, driver's license numbers. Research done the summer of 1980 indicates, one, most numbers have already been abandoned in favor of the Social Security number. Two, the Social Security number is already tied in computers to all bank accounts, checkings, and savings. Or they tell you the reason they want your Social Security number is because they have to report to the IRS. Every year I go through it. I get those little old mailings from the banks. To Westcott Christian Center and to Faith Center. We have noticed in our files that we have no Social Security number and no federal employee number. And the law requires that we have this number. I ride across states of it. We're a church, exempt, no number. Federal employee number for Westcott. Can't do anything about Faith Center. They did it before I got here. Westcott Christian Center don't have one. Social Security number doesn't apply. Once in a while I get a dummy. Well, you got to have it. I say, really? Yes. Give me our money. And they seem to find some way to get along without it for another year.
I said we're exempt. Show me the law that says the church has to do this, and I'm on my way to the Supreme Court.
Churches all over this city. Just fill it out. Just fill it out. Give them the data. What's your name? My mother's dying. What's your name?
Social Security number. I don't carry one of the blasted things. Haven't for 5 years. I have no idea what my Social Security number is.
Yet I'm still alive. Nobody's got the number from me.
Who is your Social Security number? I don't have it.
I put it on my IRS form every year. End of the subject. Well, what do you do with your bank accounts? I don't have one. Couldn't give me one. You can find a bank account that's Gene Scott's bank account, you can sure fool me. Somebody must be holding some money. And if they'll tell me where it's at, if I can sign it, I'll take it out of the bank. I like cash.
We're imprisoning ourselves because it takes a little effort to resist Antichrist. Then tell me you goonies are going to get your head cut off in order to go to heaven. You won't even get your credit cut off. You won't even pay that price.
Some states have canceled driver's license numbers and substituted the statewide use of Social Security numbers on driver's license. Oklahoma, for example. Brother Oral's state. He don't need the Lord to come. He's got heaven on earth. Pay his city. Medicaid. Medicare and Blue Cross have begun using, in some cases, Social Security numbers. This writer is a certified flight instructor. The certificate requires a Social Security number. New telco credit card applications from South Central Bell, this writer says, uses the prefix 666, followed by the applicant's Social Security number. On you can go. He causeth all to receive the mark. In July and August 1980. Well, let me go back behind that. Quoting a paper from Polson, Montana, this strange quote came across. And I've been running into these all over. I haven't had the time to check them out. I even have people calling me and saying, what about this? That apparently are experiencing it. Here's one. Little remote newspaper had a little section. Said the Internal Revenue Service Refund Office has printed a trial run of their checks for 1984. And 25 of those checks accidentally got mailed recently in California. You want to hear the rest of this? On the back of the checks are these instructions. Quote, do not cash this check unless the recipient has a number on either his right hand or on his forehead. In addition, in July and August 1980, now, I haven't seen these checks, so I move here from quoting that which I've not been able to verify personally, but I'm hearing it too often. It's like the UFO sightings. I don't know what they are. But I no longer believe all the government explanations. Too much is happening. Too many quotes coming in. Then eventually you get a government window dressing explanation. I don't think they're living beings from other planets, I'll tell you that, but I don't know what they are. In July and August 1980, the Internal Revenue Service mailed scores of Social Security checks to recipients with instructions for cashing them on the back, which read, quote, the proper identification mark in the right hand or forehead. upon the bank's refusal to cash these checks amidst much confusion and denials. And I got calls all through those months from people. The IRS admitted their mistake by saying the following, quote, "These government checks requiring a mark in a person's right hand or forehead are not to be put into use until 1984. Oh, you'll get denials if you check that out. I got calls from people who said, what did I do when they saw this instruction? Sure, it's vague, but all commerce will be conducted in the near future, let me tell you, without this evidence and statements multiplied. I didn't need it. God's word says this false prophet bowing down to government will cause all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. Let him that hath understanding open his eyes and quit floating with the stream. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Israel's been restored, folks. The Middle East has become the fulcrum of world balance of power. The answer for peace when it comes has to come out of the area of Iraq, western Iran, southern Turkey, eastern Syria, south and eastern Syria. The answer has to come there. The seat of the PLO, the disturbance center of the world, has got to find a calmer who will come in and by force establish his power in that area. The ten-toed kingdom has to be formed. They will give their power to that ruler. Israel has to be ready for peace. And the peacemaker with flattering words has to come from the area that is now the center of disturbance. And the very reversal will get the world's attention. The economic collapse around the world can only be shut off by international cooperation, because we've become economically, internationally dependent. The machinery is already there, centered in the common market countries. This year, the common market turned from simply economic to political with the vote introduced by the Netherlands. And on January 1, a year ago, Greece became the 10th member. I do not share what some believe. Therefore, Antichrist will come out of Greece. Antichrist will come out of the old Grecian kingdom that Alexander moved when he placed his capital at Babylon, and that center of the Middle East trouble area in northwestern Iraq will have a peacemaker arise. Begin will be replaced with a compromiser. He's mortal, and he'll be replaced. And the world crying for peace, dependent upon oil, will respond to this flattering peacemaker. They already have the center for the computerized control in that common market area. And as I've said, with the Netherlands resolution, they set up a system for a European parliament for the first time. Watch the arms discussions and the balance that the European center is beginning to play. I've only one message to preach. God's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. When he says something, he'll do it. You say, what's that got to do with us? He also said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He also said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. He did say, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But fear not, I have overcome the world. He also said, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. The older I get, you know, when you're young, and I don't think I'm that old, I have looked at my mother and dad and realized I got a long ways to go. But I am older than I was. And when you're young, you have a lot of options with your life. The older you get, the more fixed the commitments you've made and the decision choices rendered are jailed to where there's no turning back. The older I get, the more I am convinced that genuine Christianity has to say what Paul said. If we had hope only in this life, we'd be of all men most miserable. Because genuine Christianity gives all this away to gain all that. And all the pressures of life mount up to belie that commitment of purpose. And the world of the church is overpopulated with the predecessors of the false prophet, trying to make Christianity palatable only in terms of what it does for you here and now, so it can compete with the rest of the renderers of formulas to make this life more pleasant. Paul said, though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed daily. And if God's word, properly seen, is digested, you and I will understand we're on the right path, and our hope is eternal, and our inheritance is kept by God. It'll not fade. It's not corruptible. It cannot be destroyed. And the faithing action that is the lot of the true Christian in this walk down here, where the tug of war is to get the eyes off of eternity and on the things of time, as you wrest yourself by faith from the clutches of time and its grasp, you're laying up treasures eternal, and there's just too much here that convinces we're right, the world's wrong, and thank God we're on the winning side. I'll be gone. I'll be gone long before this happens. Come on, festival singers, fast. I want to shout it. Jesus is coming. Shout it. Jesus is coming. Stand up, everybody. I'm done preaching. I hope you go out and make some department store or some hospital, some doctor mad. Next time they slip one of those papers at you, say, whose side you on? God or the Antichrist? Say, come to church and listen to my pastor, and you'll revise this damnable document. And she'll go back and tell the doctor, you better call a psychiatrist. We got a nut in here. That's how hopeless most of the world is. But we know Jesus is coming. Good day. Be here, not here. Be watching at 6 o'clock. We need your help. Sing this song.